The Bible says, baptism doth also now save us, found in 1 Peter 3:21. We're going to be discussing for the next quarter hour on this broadcast the subject of baptism. It's another wonderful word of life. The definition for this word, simply as it's found in the Bible, conveys the idea of an immersion, an overwhelming, a covering up, and so on. If you look in a common dictionary, you'll find the common use of the word, which is sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. But we want to say the Bible teaching indicates a complete burial. We mentioned to you on one broadcast not too long ago the very wonderful theme of Colossians 2:12, where it says we are buried with him in baptism, and it's through the faith that we have in the operation of God. We are doing as the patient does, submitting to the operation of God, when we obey from our heart that glorious gospel to be made free from sin. You know, baptism is also a commandment, for in Acts 10:48 at the household of Cornelius, when Peter was preaching to the first Gentile in his family that we have a record of in the New Testament, commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. If these were the only two passages we had in the New Testament relative to baptism, it would show that it was essential. Someone might say, well, of course, what baptism is this talking about? There's a baptism of fire, there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost, and there's an immersion in water. There are other baptisms, like a baptism of suffering. But when you look at the third chapter of Matthew, and I'd like to suggest that to you on the broadcast today, you will find these three types of baptism being mentioned. John the Baptist refers to the baptism of fire as well as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles at Pentecost, and you can read that in your Bible from Acts the second chapter. Read the first four verses. It tells us in the fourth verse of that chapter that they were baptized, or that they were overwhelmed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they begin to speak as in different tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. The baptism of fire, of course, was that which would be associated with those being cast into the lake of fire. Hence, a baptism in a lake of fire, a burial, an overwhelming, a covering up. But in the last part of that third chapter of Matthew, we have the baptism of Jesus in water. I'm led to believe that when the Bible refers to baptism, unless there is some special mention made of the kind of baptism it's referring to, that it does refer to water. For instance, in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul just simply says, there was one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. This is not contradictory, because there was only one baptism that the Ephesian brethren really knew. They were not apostles, but they became followers of Jesus Christ. They had obeyed the gospel, they had been baptized into Christ, they had been immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. How do I know that to be true? I know it to be true because that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. See, the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit, not the people who gladly received the word and were baptized. They were immersed in water, just like the Ethiopian in the 8th chapter of Acts, who after hearing the gospel preached, just like we're preaching it to you today, said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And of course, the one baptism that he knew was an immersion in water, for it was stated by Philip, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he followed by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hence, baptism was that which followed, because in the Great Commission of Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So when he announced that he believed that Christ was the Son of God, we understand that he went down into the water, he was immersed there along the road, came up out of the water, and went on his way rejoicing. We believe that his sins were not really forgiven until he was immersed into Christ. How do we know this? Well, we understand it is a commandment for one to be baptized, and that commandment includes the idea that baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38 brings that out very conclusively. Again, when the apostles had received that Spirit at Pentecost, this first sermon, in the very pronouncement by inspiration of the Spirit by the Apostle Peter, when the people said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" They were sinners. They were counted as being guilty of murder. They knew this. They wanted to have the way out. Peter told them how to get out. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, in order to receive the remission of sins, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So the point is very clear here, that repentance, a commandment, in Acts 17:30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, and baptism, a commandment, in the 10th chapter of Acts and verse 48, are coupled together to give a picture of a completed conversion. In Acts 2:41, the book simply says, in response to the preaching of Peter, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." One of the most convincing arguments that baptism saves us from our past sins is found in the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Now, who was Saul of Tarsus? Well, he was one from the city of Tarsus who had risen to a high point in Judaism. And he was on his way to Damascus, as is recorded in Acts, the 9th chapter, as well as chapter 22, where he personally relates it. And he was stricken down, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord answered and said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And then this man, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He was told in Acts 9 and 6 to go into the city, and it will be told thee what thou must do. Now he relates in a speech in the 22nd chapter of Acts, and I want to cite for you, the importance of baptism. For he says in verse 16, when Ananias came in, Ananias simply said, "Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." You know, I found this to be very interesting in a conversation with a lady some years ago who was questioning what Acts 22:16 really meant. And we were having a friendly discussion on it. She was very kind. She wanted to know more about God's word, but she couldn't quite see this point. And her little daughter came skipping up the sidewalk from school. And I said, "Let's let your daughter decide this." And she looked rather peculiarly at me and wondering how the daughter could decide it. This youngster came in the house. I knew she was old enough, of course, to read. And I said, "Your mother and I are having a discussion here in the Bible. Will you read this verse?" And so she read there in the kitchen of their home actually what the verse said. And I said, after hearing that read, "Will you tell your mother and I why this man was baptized?" And with a little twinkle in her eye that youngsters often get, she said, "To wash away his sins." I believe that here was a case of a child actually teaching the simple meaning of God's word. Well, someone might say, "I really can't see the importance of baptism." Well, you know, we don't have to explain the faith that we're to have in God from the standpoint of human logic. Have you heard people say sometimes, "Well, as far as baptism is concerned to me, it's just the outward appearance of what has already happened in your heart, or it's a church ordinance." People generally offer that. You know, I've never read either one of those things being true in the Bible. I've never read in the Scripture where any of the apostles said, "Now, baptism is a church ordinance." I've never read in the Scriptures where the Bible says that you're baptized to show what has happened on your inside, to show really what's happened spiritually in your life. I believe we are baptized for the remission of our sins. I believe we're baptized because it truly is a commandment of the Lord. You know, it's interesting to note when you look at this thing that Jesus, before he left heaven, in connection with that very teaching, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." In the accounting that Matthew gives of the same type of thing, in Matthew 28 and 18, Jesus mentions about full authority or complete power being given to him in heaven and earth. He mentions that. Then he simply tells them in the 19th and 20th verses of the 28th chapter of Matthew, he said, "I want you to teach all nations. I want you to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, he did tell them to preach the gospel. he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Can you see how vital it is to believe? We're aware of this fact. Can you see how vital it is to repent? We're aware of this fact. Now in the 16th chapter of Mark and verse 16, belief and baptism are linked together with salvation. In Acts 2:38, repentance and baptism are linked together with the forgiveness of our sins. How could anyone take baptism out of its proper realm and say it's vital that we believe, it's vital that we repent? Time and time again we hear people talking about belief and repentance. Well, I hope they keep talking about it. These are important. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hebrews 11 and 6. Repentance is a commandment. It's linked together with conversion. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Peter said that in Acts 3:19. But baptism is also in that connection. And every account of conversion we have in the book of Acts definitely tells us that the people were baptized. Not alone the Ethiopian that went down into the water, not alone Saul of Tarsus who was baptized to wash away his sins, but all people who obeyed the gospel. Read it in your Bible. You'll find it to be interesting. Maybe you have questions about this subject on the broadcast today. I know this may be controversial, but we believe the Bible has the answer. It tells us what God wants us to do. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, we hope that you'll do that without delay. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ stand ready to help you. Why don't you plan to attend the next service of the congregation in your community? We also want to say, as we bring this broadcast to you, that we're looking forward to the next broadcast. Why don't you plan to be with us if you possibly can? Tell a friend or neighbor about this broadcast and let them know that we're talking about wonderful words of life.